Well, good morning. It's great to be here, isn't it? There is a 700-year-old tradition in Finland, and it's called the Declaration of Christmas Peace, and it happens still every year. At midday, every Christmas Eve, Christmas Peace is declared in the city of Turku, and I hope I've got the pronunciation right. A city official stands on the balcony of a historic building at the centre of town in the old great square, and they read this. Tomorrow, God willing, is the graceful celebration of the birth of our Lord and Saviour, and thus is declared a peaceful Christmas time to all by advising devotion and to behave otherwise quietly and peacefully. Because he who breaks this peace and violates the peace of Christmas by any illegal or improper behaviour shall, under aggravating circumstances, be guilty and punished according to what the law and status prescribe. I can't speak for each and every offence separately. Finally, a joyous Christmas feast is wished to all inhabitants of the city. This declaration reminds us, a reminder to the people that live in that city, do not mess with Christmas peace in this city or you will be dealt with harshly. And so in Turku, on Christmas Day, there's no place for being quarrelsome or antagonistic or aggressive. Instead, people are encouraged to be conciliatory, loving and kind. It's fantastic, isn't it? But the overall emphasis of this statement is that peace is a behaviour issue. Sorry, I'm just going to take this earring off because I think it's knocking on the microphone. The overall emphasis of this statement is that peace is a behaviour issue. It rests on the effort that people are willing to make so that the day is a peaceful one. But the Bible tells us that peace isn't so much based on how we behave, but it's found in a person. Paul, in his letter to the church in Ephesus, says, Jesus is our peace. Jesus is the source of peace. And so peace isn't so much about what we do, but it's about who we are in relationship with. It's not so much of an external issue, but it's an internal one. Peace in Turku is temporary. It lasts a day. But the peace offered in the Bible is for every single one, every single day. John says that Jesus himself said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. And Isaiah prophesied on the birth of Jesus long before that first Christmas day. And we opened our service with these words from Isaiah 9, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. And this is good news. Because looking at the world around us, it is far from peaceful. Earlier this year, there was something put together called a Global Peace Index. This report came out in June. And it reported peacefulness declines to its lowest level in 15 years, fueled by post-COVID economic uncertainty and Ukraine conflict. This consortium then went on to say, the political terror scale, political insecurity, neighbouring country relations, refugees and internally displaced persons reached their worst score since the inception of the Global Peace Index, which was started in 2007. And so with the impact of war and ongoing industrial action in our country, rising costs and anxiety and hardship that might be running alongside these things, as well as the personal things like ill health and you know, just general difficulties, don't we, this Advent season, don't we long for peace? We long for our broken world to be mended. We long for reconciliation between warring countries. We long for resolution at negotiating tables. And we long for peace to our troubled minds. But despite the troubles around us, the good news of Christmas is that Jesus, the Prince of Peace, is here. He's with us and he's within us. And this season of Advent is an opportunity for us to remind ourselves that the conflicts around us and the brokenness within us is not the whole story. Our story is held within the bigger and the deeper truth of God's reconciling love. And this morning, I just want to spend a few moments reminding us of who we are in Jesus and what makes the Christmas story so incredibly life-changing. You see, despite the busyness of Christmas and despite the pain and disillusionment and worry we might be experiencing at the moment personally, and however what is going on in the world around us affects us, Jesus, the Prince of Peace, is here. He resides within us and he reigns over us. That's what that passage in Isaiah tells us. He reigns within us, he resides within us and he reigns over us. And yet it is so easy to let all these other things swamp us instead of us living out this simple and beautiful truth. This Advent season is an opportunity to allow Jesus to breathe into and to breathe over all of the challenges of our lives. Now, the word that the Old Testament uses for peace is shalom, and it means a wholeness or a completeness. It can include the absence of war or quarrel or strife, but it really addresses the state of our internal and our external world. And it's used as a blessing. I find it really interesting that this morning Liz chose for us to share the peace, which is quite an interesting churchy thing that we sometimes do. But what we were doing was greeting and blessing one another in the same way that is often used in Jewish communities even today. And it was speaking a sense of well-being into the life of the person that you greeted. It speaks a sense of tranquility and prosperity and security and kind of unblemished circumstances into the person that is being greeted and blessed. Did you know that's what you were saying when you said, "The peace of the Lord be with you," or whatever it said? Maybe you just said, "Hi, I hope all is well with you." When we as Christians greet somebody with a shalom peace, we are praying a blessing over them. May all be good and well within your soul. What a powerful thing to have spoken over us, and what a powerful thing to speak over the life of someone else. This is what Jesus, the Prince of Shalom, promises. And it's through him that we can experience this wholeness and completeness in our lives despite what is going on around us. Now, the perfect picture of this shalom peace, this wholeness peace, is found in Genesis 1. God says, "Let us make human beings in our image. Make them reflecting our nature." Did you hear? Let us. Our image. Our nature. At the very beginning of the Bible, we see that God is revealed in three persons, Father and Son and Holy Spirit, each in perfect union with each other. So I want to imagine, I want you to imagine for a moment, a conversation between the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. A conversation where the Father is honouring the Son and he is honouring the Father back. And the Holy Spirit is valuing the Father and the Father is valuing the Holy Spirit back. And the Son is ascribing peace to the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit is ascribing peace back. A perfect oneness. And because we are created in God's image, we are created to reflect that. We have the capacity to honour one another and to value one another and to ascribe peace to one another. This is God's design for our lives. But then we move into Genesis 3. In Romans, Paul describes human beings as being enemies of God. And it goes back to the Garden of Eden in Genesis 3, where Adam and Eve and all of their descendants, including you and me, became separated from God because of sin. We lose the relationship God wanted with us. And whilst the image of God within us becomes tarnished, we don't completely lose the image of God. We don't completely lose the ability to reflect God's nature, but it falls short of what God intended for us. So when the angels sing over the shepherds on the night that Jesus was born, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men and women, on whom his favour rests," they are expressing deep, deep joy because of who is being born. Never before had the creator of the world lived in a human body among his creation with the purpose of saving us from our sin. With the birth of Jesus, instead of being separated from God, Jesus is going to reconnect us to the one who created us. And in doing so, we can be made new. We can be transformed into the likeness of Christ. We can enjoy relationship with God. And his image within us can be restored. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that amazing? That is what Christmas means for us. The Bible says when we become a Christian, we are given a new identity. We become a new kind of human being. And when we become a new human being, it means that we no longer have to identify with the brokenness of Adam and Eve. Instead, we can identify with the perfection of God, because we can identify with Jesus. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that when we become a Christian, we no longer make mistakes, nor do we sin anymore. Of course we do. But it no longer counts against us. We no longer need to strive to make peace with God. Jesus has done that on our behalf on the cross. And it's this reconciliation with God that brings us into this deep peace with him. It's this reconciliation, sorry, that comes through Jesus that brings us that deep peace with God. So we don't have to be like those people living in Finland, in Turku, on Christmas Day, focusing on their behaviour and being slightly afraid or nervous about the consequences if they get it wrong on Christmas Day. We don't have to live like that, because Adam and Eve might have brought damage into the world, but because of Jesus, we don't have to pay anything back. Instead of striving for peace, trying to earn God's favour, all he says is enjoy the relationship. That's all that he says to us. Enjoy the relationship I have with you. Enjoy the relationship you have with me. He just says, embrace what Jesus has given on your behalf. Now, this is confession time. On Friday afternoon, I discovered I had messed up big time. I printed and we distributed a leaflet into the book bag of every primary school child in Thornhill. That's not strictly true. We'd put them into the book bag of two schools, and it was one of the teachers at the third school that noticed I had made a mistake. It had the wrong date on it. And when something has gone out into hundreds of book bags, and it's gone up on posters in loads of blocks of flats, that's a really difficult thing to recall or recall. It also wasn't something that just TBC were doing. It involved two other churches and the council. And it means that now, as a church, Paul and I can't support another church in another area because of the date clash and time. When somebody pointed out the error, you can imagine I felt awful because of the implication of all of the additional work that had got to be done and the, just the complete and utter muddle. But as we worked through how we could rearrange what it was we had to do, despite feeling awful about the work that I was putting people to, I felt an incredible peace. And that peace came out of the relationship that I have with the other ministers and the person that I'm working with on the council. So I didn't feel tearful, which could have been a response, and I didn't feel fearful, despite the fact that I'd got it wrong, because I am in relationship with these people. And it's all about the relationship. And if we can feel peaceful when we mess up, when we're in relationship with people, how much more should we feel peaceful in our mistakes and our sins when we are in relationship with God, because Jesus has secured it. Jesus has covered it. Jesus is our peace. The New Testament is written in Greek. You're learning some things about language today. The New Testament is written in Greek, and in Greek, the word for peace is union, and it conveys the meaning of being joined with or bound to something that has been separated and is now become one. And that is what our relationship is like with God through Jesus. We are joined with God through him. So this morning, I just want to ask you, do you really know this? Are you living in this truth? And are you living out of this truth? The American author and pastor, somebody called A.W. Tozer, says, what comes into your mind when you think about God is the most important thing about you. So when you think of God, what comes to mind? Is it union with Him? Do we see ourselves joined to Him or bound to Him? And do we live like we're bound to Him? Or do we find ourselves identifying with Adam and Eve and their brokenness? This is a really crucial question, because how and who we identify with will affect the way we live. You see, one leads to a sense of close, intimate relationship with God, and the other will leave us always feeling that there's a distance, always feeling that there's a little bit of a gap that somehow we have to make up. When we know without a shadow of a doubt we are bound to God, we can live grateful and grace-filled lives. And our desire, our want to sin lessens because we want to live a life worthy of Him. And so our behaviour kind of changes out of that relationship. But when we identify with Adam and Eve, we are always striving to measure up. It's so much harder to feel that deep peace. And then it's far more difficult to pass it on because we're trying to work to bridge the gap. In the Message version of the Bible, Paul writes, from the beginning to the end, he is there, towering far above everything, everyone. So spacious is he, so expansive, that everything of God finds its proper place in him without crowding. Not only that, but all the broken and dislocated pieces of the universe, people and things, animals and atoms, get properly fixed and fit together in vibrant harmonies, all because of his death, his blood that poured down from the cross. So we can't deny the brokenness of the world, but it's not the story we are bound to. And so we don't need to be overwhelmed by it. Instead, we're rooted in God's reconciling love, which was there in the beginning, is what we've become joined into, and what through the work of the Holy Spirit we join in with when and where the Holy Spirit leads us to. So this morning, who do you identify with? Jesus Christ, the perfection of God, or Adam and Eve and their brokenness? Because your answer to that question will make a profound and life-changing difference to how you experience God's perfect and wonderful peace. So let's pray together. Let's pray. Lord, we know we are flawed people. We know we are affected and impacted by the sin of Adam and Eve that we see in the whole of the world around us. And Lord, we see it in ourselves as well. But God, today, would you speak deep into our souls that this is not who we are. Instead, we are heirs of God. We are your friend. We have been bought by the blood of Jesus, and we are bound to you. God, would you speak it deep into our souls so that as we reflect on this time as we lead up to Christmas and celebrate your birth once more, that we will know that you have changed our story. We are new people, a new creation. People that can hold your peace and be peace bringers to the world in which we live. God, would you change our thinking so we no longer feel the need to strive to be good, so that we no longer fear the punishment if we are bad, but instead people that are free to grow and flourish simply because of what you have done for us, Lord. Would you write it deep into us, each of us, this Christmas season, so that it might change our life for good. Amen.